Good morning. Good morning. Today is Monday, 12th of July. Joining us this morning is not Chris Hartley.
No.
did he just kind of duck out?
Nope. He's off doing other important things.
More important things. I heard that.
All right, Colby. I said
fine. Colby Smart's alongside this morning, the IT tech guru dude.
Yep, and assistant superintendent.
Oh, you want that in there, huh?
If you want to put it in there, go ahead.
How many assistants are there?
Oh, there's two.
Well, see?
Yeah, there's the assistant superintendent of business services and myself, which is educational services.
Educational services.
Yeah.
How's that defined?
Well, it's a sort of an umbrella term that
a catch-all. I know those positions.
Yeah, exactly. It oversees a lot for everything from curriculum and instruction to I work with a court and community school principal, professional development, nutrition services, foster homeless youth. So, truly an umbrella term.
Which means everybody else steps back and Colby catches it.
Maybe.
Or at least you direct it. How's that?
There you go.
All right. You ready for your question?
I am.
All right. Now, that's an awfully long one, so we're just going to go to the next page. Why do we say that someone who's feeling great is on cloud nine?
On cloud nine. Well, probably because that's the highest level cloud you can be on. It's the highest, maybe it's a cumulus cloud. What do you think? Is that pretty close?
Yeah, like almost you read this.
Is that right?
Types of clouds are numbered according to the altitudes they attain,
with
nine being the highest cloud. So if someone is on cloud nine, the person is floating well above worldly cares.
There you go. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Shot in the dark. Good way to start the week. I don't know. Rest of us is going to kind of be a downhill slide, but that's okay. Now, we've been hearing from folks, Colby, that the budget was good, the budget's healthy, that there's some one-time funding monies available, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, you kind of are in the area where one-time purchases make sense.
Yes.
So you're not worried about some of those other challenges that some other assistant superintendents might have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at as far as one-time, either deferred maintenance types of things or challenges that may not have been there 4 or 5 years ago, but you really need to catch up to?
Sure. Well, of course, tending to deferred maintenance things, looking at our fleet of cars that provide services to districts, looking at curriculum and instruction opportunities, a lot of those one-time monies are really designed to support the reality that the experience that kids had last year produced maybe some opportunities to grow. So
you mean life experience?
Well, yes.
Grow but, kind
but,
of thing?
But also, or? I mean, there was a challenge for a lot of families, a lot of students, and so their educational experience was not what it would have been. So there's going to be a need and an opportunity to provide additional and further support in the form of one-on-one tutoring, they call it high-stakes tutoring, and other forms, ways to get kids back up to where they should be.
Now, my base understanding is that if the kids are excited, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
If they're bored, nah.
Right. And so, that goes mentally and physically, right?
Yes.
Physically may be there.
But yeah, both ways. I mean,
sure.
You know, somebody attending a Zoom meeting or a Zoom class lying in bed.
Right.
No, they're not there. They're not excited. They're just kind of checking off time. Okay. So I would think that it's more content than it is structural in getting the kids back and engaged. And mm-hmm. maybe the parents are there to support. Maybe the parents aren't there. But we're all familiar with stories where somebody just gets really excited and they go through everything to make that happen. I would think that is kind of where that one-on-one counseling, advisor,
yep.
contact really has a chance to shine rather than the classroom traditional setting where you're one of 30 and you punch a card and you say thank you very much
right.
and you move on.
Yeah, in addition to that, there's so many other opportunities to engage students. For example, career technical education. We just came off a really successful, albeit altered from previous years, the Health Exploration Summer Institute. Brian, what that is it brings together high school students, largely who have studied as part of our health careers pathway, for a three-week summer institute that allows them the opportunity to explore various aspects of the healthcare field. You know, everything.
So it's like shadowing, job shadowing kinds of things, or lectures?
Both. And in prior years, this year didn't happen. Kids, for example, would go to St. Joseph Hospital and do some job shadowing, doing rounds, that sort of thing. This year, it didn't include that particular aspect of it, but it did bring in, brought the kids together where there were guest speakers. Kids got the opportunity to really learn everything from phlebotomy to other parts of the healthcare industry.
How long did it take you to learn how to say that?
I'm still working on it. Yeah. I'm not sure if I said it right.
You know, you say it smooth and fast enough with enough passion, nobody picks up on it.
There you go. And there's just tons of examples of career technical
I would think you do one of those a week. Mm-hmm. And tap into various kids' areas of interest.
Yeah, related to healthcare during the year, there's not only academic courses that are aligned with the sciences, but there's also health career seminars, which are shorter stints to just give kids an opportunity just to learn about this aspect of the industry or that aspect. But in addition to that, there's other CTE programs that the county office helps support, like the Trades Academy and other things.
I would pick a business, it wouldn't matter. I would think that they would be willing to help or participate or
Definitely.
Influence or add or just be part of whatever it is that you know, a chance to brag on their business model.
Our business partners are just incredible. A couple weeks ago, Cocotat,
all right.
Winston's counting down.
Now, he was able to say Cocotat, but not blood thing. So we'll work on the blood thing and then we'll be back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Colby Smart from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Phlebotomy.
Mm-hmm. You said it well.
Yeah, I can't spell it.
I know it starts with a P.
Yeah. Do you guys monitor the National Spelling Bees? You watch that? I mean, I would think that that could be something really cool for some of the kids.
Yeah, I've seen it, and I know there's a few really engaging movies around the National Spelling Bee, but the county office, actually, there are local and regional spelling bees, and one of the things that the county office does is once those kids do well at their local event, we have a countywide event.
Yeah, I was involved with that for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 4 or 5, something like that. But where do they go? What happens? Poof.
They go to the state spelling bee.
But I would think, you know, there's the engagement part, mm-hmm. right? To tap into the emotional for the kids so they show up. Do one with history. I know Bill Schauser used to do one. It would compete with the American Express Geography. And they would go and compete in, I think it was Georgia at the time. Mm-hmm. And there were kids from Eureka High, which is where he was, that would go and they would be able to compete successfully. But each of these areas of discipline have got the equivalent of a spelling mm-hmm. bee.
Yeah.
Boy, that's the stuff I think is way cool.
Yeah, you know, speaking of history, the National History Day competition, Humboldt County is only second to Los Angeles in terms of engagement.
With percentage of students involved?
Yep, absolutely. And so we have a very, very highly engaged, well-run partnership with Humboldt State and our local districts. And we send lots of kids to the state level each year. And in addition to that, there's the science fair. And that's also an opportunity for kids to really engage around the science.
Did that happen this year, the science fair?
The science fair did happen, albeit it was a very different way.
That's why I would think with some of the technology capabilities now that you guys have got over the past years being able to incorporate, but also the mainstreaming of some of this stuff in the homes, that it's got to open up some really interesting opportunities.
Yeah, it certainly does. In addition to History Day, Science Fair, Spelling Bee, you know, there's just other opportunities for kids to engage, not just in sort of big competitions, but little ones, engaging in in the Trades Academy, which exposes kids who otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity because whether or not their school's large enough to have a robust CTE program, an opportunity.
Does that mean like shop? I mean, even something like that, you know, you think about how much money was put into some of these departments.
Yeah.
Just for the fancy gear. And now it's even fancier than what it was when you and I were going through.
Yeah, and one of the ways that we help kids engage is we've got a mobile trades lab. It's hooked up. It's got all the technology. It's got all the tools. And then our coordinator goes out and works.
It's not called Snap-on Tools, is it?
It's not.
It's not the truck.
It kind of looks like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think that's one thing that everybody can appreciate is if you have access to the tools, the real tools, all of a sudden these jobs that look so overwhelming aren't.
Yeah, and the guided mentorship.
Yeah.
And that's where the business sector comes in. The guided mentorship, there's such a rich, deep, and layered opportunity for kids to engage with our local businesses. Oh, thanks, Winston. And so we're starting to see just so many different interesting ways that careers are explored. You know, we've got a career speaker series where anybody who's interested, who wants to go into a classroom, talk about their job, can do that. And we also have a program called College Connect, which we work very closely with Humboldt State and College of the Redwoods. And the incredible professors at those institutions, they invite students into their classrooms. So the kids go onto campus, they attend a lecture, and then the professors give their time after to speak directly with the students, answer their questions.
Kind of like a mini lab. So to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so then kids get real concrete examples of what potentially college will look like.
Yeah, I would suspect most kids in high school they may have been on campuses, you know, doing their tours and that kind of stuff. They may have sat down, but have they actually attended a class?
Right.
And it's still a pipe dream, would be to go to like Harvard Business School and just pop in on one class.
There's still time for you, Brian.
Be way up in the boony cheap seats, right?
Yeah.
But just to be in the environment. I think that there's something about that intangible. You don't get from Zooming.
No.
Or anything else. You got to be there and just kind of the essence of the class rather than just reading transcripts of what was presented.
Yeah, and that's open to all high school students. They just need to, you know, we do outreach. I know next year we have we want to prioritize the very hard to reach, geographically isolated high school students. So we're going to be working with Klamath Trinity School District to find ways to get them over onto the campus.
Road trip.
Mm-hmm. Big road trip.
Lunch.
In addition, the professors also will go to the classroom, to the actual high school campus as well. So we're building these sort of multi-layered opportunities for kids.
All that stuff is interesting so that nobody gets forgotten. And I suppose that's an awful lot of this, too.
Yeah.
If you're not overlooked, if you're part of the crew, you're more likely to be there as
Definitely.
Well. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Colby Smart, Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services for Humboldt County Office of Education.
Very nice, Brian.
Franklin School.
That's right.
It was and will always be Franklin School. At least if you have the 1960 reference, and that's kind of where I live sometimes. The dollars at the state are largesse that the state is passing through.
Yeah.
How are you looking to apply these, I'll call them, pennies from heaven, because they certainly weren't anticipated, and hopefully they're being perceived as one-time funding.
Mm-hmm.
How are you looking to disseminate those? What priorities does the HCOE have for those dollars to make the next whatever period of time a better educational experience?
So, first of all, our number one priority is to help prepare students for their own preferred future. So we are guided by what we call the HCOE pillars. Other things are exceptional customer service, developing people, and also maximizing our resources. One of the ways that we maximize our resources is that we work closely with school districts. As you know, many of our school districts can't do everything. Largely due to their geographic location and their size. And so we create partnerships and nurture collaboration so we can maximize those resources. So some of the areas where those one-time dollars are going to go are providing additional services to, again, address some of that learning acceleration. Now that it used to be called learning loss, but now they're referring to it as learning acceleration. More positive spin, I guess, some of it's going to allow us to pivot and focus our services more closely with that in mind.
So what are some of those techniques, Colby? Obviously, the computer thing is something, but if you don't have, if you're in a dial-up, it's just going to be tough for you any way you look at it. You could argue, if one was inclined, and I'm not suggesting this, you could argue school district consolidation or school district creation, depending on what side of the ledger you were on, and to have the same arguments, right?
Yep.
It's about the kids. It's about the power, about the experience. It's arguing two separate positions.
Yeah.
So, how do you get to that functional definition of – helping the kids learn more?
You asked a couple things. But I'll say how do you get to that is making sure that we're having lots of conversations with everyone in the community that has a stake in public education, which is everyone in the community.
Yeah.
Right? But you talked about what are some of the strategies to address those, that learning acceleration. There's something called high-intensity tutoring, which is not putting kids with more screen time in front of a computer and having more, giving them opportunities to answer a bunch of math questions. It's finding ways to create partnerships, whether it's with retired educators or just retired community members.
Well, like the RSVP.
Yeah.
Model.
Yeah, we've got a program, the Early Literacy Partnership Program, getting kids to interact with more one-on-one, high-intensity tutoring for lack of a better term, because one of the biggest indicators of a child's success is time on task. It doesn't sound highly technical because it's not. The more students have working with adults on whether it's early literacy or mathematics instruction, the greater their opportunity for success will be.
Just makes it, yeah, if you can boil it down to the simple.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then there's a chance for it being understood.
Yep.
Instead of creating acronyms that nobody really knows outside the user group.
Right.
And we all get lost.
It's a simple.
Time on task is there.
Yeah, it's very much like gardening. You know, if you tend the soil, if you enrich it, the plant's going to produce more leaves and better fruit.
Water. I've learned that one, too.
Yeah?
Water, yeah.
And compost.
I mean, yeah, well, we got plenty of that all the time, don't we? It seems like the basics really are the basics. Mm-hmm. And if you can maximize the basics, the kids, I think, and everybody responds to that. Mm-hmm. What do you see that's missing now? Is it just attention?
Well, I'm not sure I can answer that question, Brian. When you say missing, do you mean resources, or do you mean
across the board? You know,
barriers.
If you could have one thing and you push that button and it's gone, and now it becomes easier for the kids to have their passion recognized, mm-hmm. and for the system to recognize the kids' passion.
Yeah. So I would say, I don't know if this is necessarily missing, but it's an area where we as a community can do better at. And that's creating classroom and learning environments where all kids feel like they belong, right? So the classroom just doesn't look one way, but it's designed to support the needs and the passions and the interests of all students, regardless of the communities that they come from. The more that we can create learning environments where students feel at home, the more receptive, the more they're going to be to learning. And not just being receptive, but physiologically, it does something different when you feel at home in a learning environment.
Not home, strict definition of home.
No.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
Might be, yeah, okay.
Yeah, where kids, every child that goes into a classroom comes in with an assets. They have inherent value. They've got their own customs at home. The more that we can recognize that and celebrate those things, the better all children are going to do.
I'm just thinking of the dentist experience.
I wasn't thinking of that. Tell me more.
Some people get all anxious and about going to the dentist.
There you go. Yeah.
And you got ding-dongs like me. You go, oh, hi, Roger. Yeah, okay. And yeah, you know, it's like seeing old buddies.
Yeah.
Okay, buddies who are old. Just a little dig. But that approach, I mean, mm-hmm. it's same experience, but it's the lead up to it.
Yep.
You know, do you feel comfortable, or is it something you're a little concerned about?
Right. When we do that, we start to address larger issues, which we do see in our community, in fact, California-wide, like chronic absenteeism, for example. Big reason why kids don't show up to school is they don't necessarily enter a learning environment where it's designed to meet their needs and also help them as much as possible learn what they need to.
Or tap into their passion.
It
ain't fun.
Yeah.
And it should be.
It should be. Absolutely.
Other than semifinals and finals weeks.
Oh, those should be fun too.
Yeah.
Just ask my daughter. She had a great time.
I see.
Just kidding.
Perhaps truth in advertising needs to come up here. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Kobe Smart from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Kobe Wade, you're designing some of these different approaches and outreaches. Mm-hmm. I would think that you're running natively, you would run into three hurdles. You got kid expectation, realistic or not. You got instructor expectation, realistic or not. And parental expectation, realistic or not. So even with just those six variables, or three variables with two, I mean, there's all kinds of different combinations there. How do you do that? I mean, if the kid has unrealistic expectations, high or low, okay, you got to get them to think real. But the same thing, too, with the deliverer of the information and also the parents. You know, I want my kid to go to Berkeley. Why? So I can brag. It's kind of the subconscious under thing. You know, my kid was able to qualify for. You know, who goes to, who should go to Berkeley for an English degree? As an example, I mean, there's lots of fine schools that do English, and I don't mean to denigrate Berkeley, well, directly Berkeley, but it's like, you know, what a waste. You know, if you're going there, go to an English school then, one that really, really does it instead of having the, you know, being a bear. How do you work through that? Because you can't use the teacher because the teacher's going to have their expectations. Can't use the parents because they're going to have theirs, and the kids certainly are going to have theirs. Is that part of that oversight that you guys will provide to kind of reset and get a reality check?
Well, we can never no, it's in terms of making everybody happy, to make sure everybody's expectations are real. I learned a long time ago that's not possible, but it's also not helpful if that's all you're focused on. So when we're developing programs, the first thing we need to ask ourselves is, why are we doing it? Is there what is the particular need? To do something just to do it might be great in the short term, but if we're looking to address long-term, in some cases, generational challenges, we have to understand why we're doing it. And so I'll give you an example. One of the things we're starting to look at right now is we're developing a mental health career pathway. It's sort of an offshoot of the health career pathway we were talking about earlier. The reason why we're doing that is because there are shortages in our workforce to address the mental health realities that many communities in our county are struggling with. And so that's the reason why. Well, then how? That's the next question. So we answer that question not from our own limited view. We answer it by being inclusive of the community at large. So in the case of the mental health career pathway, we've created an advisory committee made up of local Native representation through Two Feathers, representation from DHHS and other organizations and school districts, of course, and others to tell us, okay, so how are we going to address this long-term challenge and opportunity? And so to me, measuring and managing those expectations on the back end, that's important because that gives us feedback on how we're doing.
Yeah, it completes your loop.
Correct. So we always want to pay attention to that, but we're not driven by that. We're driven by the why. What are the opportunities to develop for students that will have meaningful impacts on our community?
If folks have interest in sharing,
yes,
reach out?
Reach out directly. And I left my card and
Winston will have that information on the website.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
Very
reach
cool.
out. Love to have conversations. And a lot of the things that we talked about today were not developed out from the county office, but what they were is the reflections of people coming to the county office, wanting to make a change, wanting to make improvements for our
community.
The way
it ought to be.
Absolutely.
Let's see you again.
You too, Brian. Thanks.
See everybody tomorrow.